What is the truth in the stories we are told? We've been given a story of a world fueled by separation. We've become separate from one another, separate from the earth, ultimately separate from the true nature of ourselves. It's time we learn the truth. It's time you rewrite your story. It's time to realign with who it is that you really are. This is the fifth dimension.
You are infinite and eternal. We are infinite and eternal.
Our natural essence, we could say, is simply being.
We have this awakening coming together as a perfect storm.
We're ready for this. We have the capacity inside. We just got to find that.
All right. I want to welcome everybody in to the Fifth Dimension Podcast with your host, Evan McDermott. What a show we got on tap for today. We're going to talk about learning to let go. Now, this is a subject that's going to be raw, real. Got to be vulnerable when talking about letting go. So we're just going to keep it real. We're just going to do our thing, you know? We're going to dive into subjects, see where we end up, because ultimately, there's a lot of lessons we can learn about impermanence. Really, in any of life's chaos that comes our way, when we're required to separate, or we experience heartbreak or death, or we just feel like we're at a point where we are ready for the next step, and whatever that may be. And I think there's a lot we can learn by exploring how to let go. Because it is not a simple process. It's not helpful for somebody to just say, oh, just move on. In a way, it can be. Certain scenarios where you just got to pick yourself up and say, all right, I'm going to move forward. That always can be helpful. But it's not always that simple. There is a lot of shame that comes with this process, because ultimately it feels like we're supposed to reach X, Y, and Z by this point. We're supposed to move on within a week. We're supposed to be feeling fulfilled and new and nourished after something that happens that can be rather traumatic, right? So ultimately this is about learning and embracing the ups and downs of this journey as they come along, right? But I want to thank you all for tuning into the episode. We have some interviews planned out for later this week, over the next couple weeks. So we're really starting to dive back in to the show as a modality for exploring and learning and growing, and I'm excited about that. If you're a fan, be sure to subscribe whatever platform you're on. You can go check out Substack, mcdermott.substack.com. The link is in the episode show notes. Really, if you're following on there, you'll see that I have not been creatively stagnant by any means over the last 6 or 7 months. Most of my creativity has been going into my writing. So it's not like I haven't been creating and sharing ideas. It's just been in different platforms, different modalities, if you will, right? So be sure to check that out, mcdermott.substack.com. I will be getting my personal training certification within the next month or so. So, if you feel called to step into the space of a new approach to fitness, I've been really thinking a lot about, just over the course of the last year, even for myself, how do you incorporate spirit into fitness? Because I believe a lot of the wellness space, and particularly gyms and particularly personal training, as I've gone through the NASM material, it really lacks spirit and individual expression and autonomy. I think there's a lot that we really need to look at in terms of what is the why? What is the deeper purpose behind what you're doing in a gym, of why you're getting healthier? There's a lot of all these aspects that come into play that I think are ignored, and that's why I feel called to step into this and work with people from a remote location, or if you live in Montana, by all means, come my way. We can work one-on-one in person for sure. But I know a lot of people are going to be listening from afar and not right in my neighborhood. That's the reality of the online world. So if you feel called to step into that space, I'm going to be offering individual fitness coaching, programming, and incorporating that with meditative practices and spiritual wellness, because there is a deeper picture here that as I've started to incorporate for myself, I mean, just this past year, I was about, going into the last summer, I was about 175 pounds. Right now I'm at 195, and this has been good weight, and my body fat is at about 9% that's maintained that, so we're putting on close to 20 pounds of muscle mass in almost a year, which is pretty good, and the strength has been going up, so I'm feeling good, and I think the physical wellness is something that is so essential to a spiritual practice. We often neglect our physical bodies as part of the deeper spiritual picture, if you will. So if that interests you, reach out to me. My Instagram is in the link below. I don't have a page to book personal training, if you will. Or, well, I guess what you could do, go to the either send me a message on Instagram, or there's going to be a link in there where you can book directly personal training or tarot readings, which are also still available. And just as you're booking, looking at the times, put what it is that you're booking for, and we can go from there. And with the training, it would just be an initial consultation, see where you're at. And that would be free. There ain't going to be no charge for a consultation. It'd be by donation. We start working together. We can discuss what that looks like on a long-term scale. But I want to help you commit to you and find your own deeper why or deeper meaning, which is why my Substack is called Deeper Meaning. And if you're not following by that by now, again, let's go back to the Substack. Go subscribe, because you'll be notified for any podcasts, any writing, any poetry, any of this, any of that. Speaking of poetry book, To Marshal Love Against Tyranny. You can go buy a copy of that if you want to support my work. It's a great way to do so. I feel like there's been a lot of ad promos in this episode. I just got a lot to share and express with y'all, because it has been a minute since I've really been podcasting regularly. So all that stuff's going to be in the episode show notes below. Be sure to interact outside of just this podcast. I enjoy being able to work with others in these spaces, because these are what I'm passionate about. I'm passionate about personal health and wellness. I love lifting. I love it. Like, it is so fun. It is so, like, there is so much to all of these practices that I have engaged in. So check them out. We're gonna make it happen. But let's jump into the episode. Learning to let go. And, you know, I wrote a piece on Instagram, and it was on Substack about this. I initially just wrote it as an Instagram comment or caption, if you will, on one of my photos. Because I myself have been in a period of transformation, if you will. And I call it a period of transformation because there's a lot of things in my life that have changed. Work opportunities have changed. Relationships has been a big one. People who I thought were real and I thought were it are no longer actively in my life. And that necessarily, a lot of it wasn't necessarily my own doing. A lot of it, my hands were tied in a lot of these things, you know? But the foundation of what we're looking at today is that all things are temporary, including life. You know, and that's a beautiful, fucked up, timeless lesson that at some point we're all going to have to really sit with and experience. You know, there's no running from the end. And in many cases, the end would be death. You know, there's absolutely no running from that. So how do you accept the impermanence of this game called life? You know, because really you have to, it brings the question of what's the point? If it's going to end, if all of our relationships end in heartbreak, or death, what's the point? If you're guaranteed to experience some sort of form of loss, pain, and grief, what's the point? And somebody very near and dear to me asked me that 6-7 months ago, however long it was towards the end of last summer. What's the point? When I said, you know, trust in the greater picture here. Like, look at it, look at the bigger picture, trust in it, believe in it. She said, what was the point? And I didn't have an adequate answer, and I'm still, I think a lot of my own journey has been about discovering that answer. Because she asked that right about the time I was starting to take a break from podcasting. Right as I was really starting to look at a lot of areas critically, and I started asking the question, what's the point of any of it? What's the point of podcasting? If I couldn't come up with a good answer, I ain't going to do it. You know, what's the point of love? If I'm not going to come up with a good answer, I ain't going to do it. You know, and you got to look at all the different aspects of your life and come up with that answer. What's the point? And there is always a point if you can connect beyond just the pains and the traumas that life throws at us, right? I think I heard it was Denzel Washington talking about how, you know, if you're fucking up mercilessly, is that the right word? Mercilessly, you know, the devil ain't gonna mess with you. And in the sense of, oh no, he's one of my greatest soldiers. Leave him alone. We ain't got to throw more on his plate. Oh no. But when you start walking a path of salvation, you start walking a path of your highest potential, when you start looking at yourself and who you are, that's when life is going to throw shit at you. That's when the devil going to say, okay, let's see what we can do here. You know, it's like that idea when you ask God for strength. He ain't just going to snap his fingers and boom, you strong. No. It don't work like that. You got to build strength. You got to build character. You got to learn how to love. And how do you learn how to love? It's through heartbreak. It's through getting your heart ripped out and feeling the experience and pains of loss. And I've talked about on this podcast, when my father passed away, you know, and we're coming up on 10 years next year of that. Can you believe that? 10 years next year. This will be 9 years in May. But there's still timeless wisdom that comes from really sitting with that and being able to be there, one, and witness his passing is something I'm always going to hold a level of gratitude for, because I witnessed there was life and then there was not, right in front of my own eyes, right? Witnessing the temporary nature of somebody who is the most important male figure in my life and always will be, right? And you know, he had his shortcomings, we all do, but he is, looking back, I can sit back and acknowledge that he played the role of a father beautifully, provided, offered a level of protection for me, my brothers, all of us growing up. And you know, I think you can sit there and nitpick and say, oh, I wish he was more present here, more doing this, that, there, you know, and did this, and prioritized this, and did this, and did this, and did it. The upbringing that you get is what makes you into the person you are today. And, you know, none of your parents are going to be perfect. So I'm grateful for what I was able to learn and experience from him, because he embodied an essence, a radiance to him that people really gravitated towards. You know, and he lived certainly hedonistically in some senses, which is fine. But you know, there was a magnitude there, and I learned a lot from him. And to be able to witness death, it's an experience unlike any other. It puts into perspective just what this is. Because that's coming for all of us. It is. There's no denying it. That is the core of our fears, is the fear of death. It is the core of loss, is this fear to lose. It's this fear that there is a finality. You know, and it was Rumi who talked about, you know, goodbyes are only for people who are loving with their eyes, because those connected to the heart know that there is no such thing as goodbyes, and love is an eternal concept. Goodbyes are just temporary in their nature as well. So, and it was sitting with that death almost 10 years ago now that definitely showed me that love is an eternal concept, because the love continues. If anything, I've been able to learn about the love quite a bit more since his passing, since that took place. And, you know, it isn't at the end of the day. It isn't the end. And I think if we can put all of our losses into that perspective, all of the opportunities for transformation and growth into that perspective, it makes the burden a little easier to bear. You know, I myself, as I was mentioning, I'm learning to a deeper level what it means to let go of people who aren't dead. You know, if anything, death is easy. That is, like, talk about love being eternal, and there is a level of eternity that comes from that. But at the same sense, it is so, this is the end. That person's gone, straight up gone. That's it. So there's a level of certainty within that. When you start looking at relationships, friendships, you start looking at opportunities, jobs, you start looking at different aspects of life, and where these people are still around and you're letting go of more emotional attachments, that's where things get a little, I'd say, more slippery. And that's what I'm learning about now. There's a deeper level to learning how to let go than just in death. I'm not saying death is easy by any means, but compared to some of the other type of losses, there's a level of, like I said, I think certainty is the right word that comes with death. And if you can embrace that and look into it directly in its own eyes, meet death at the doorstep as it comes along, all right, that makes it a lot easier. And I think keeping that in the back of your mind when going into heartbreak, it also, like I said, it makes the burden a little easier to bear, because these are, even the challenges are temporary in their nature. For every dark night, there will be a brighter day. So you can look at the grand scheme of it and know that, okay, change is constant, whether I'm going to be in conscious control of it or not. I might as well try and take the driver's seat here instead of just letting the bus or the train go off the tracks. You know, let me sit with it and see what I can do. And I think when you have a situation where it's like heartbreak, for example, where you are still, in a way, not actively involved in the other person's life, but they are still around, you still have to find self-control and let them go. You know, that, in a way, that's where you need to take conscious control of your emotions, of what it is that you want, what it is that you need. You know, ultimately, I do think there's a nobility in never giving up. And there are people who are worth fighting for. You know, I find myself at a point and where I feel like I will fight. Like, if I truly love somebody, I will fight for them till the end. You know, I think my version of love can be a lot. It can be viewed as almost obsessive. And I think I do have some anxious attachments. I'm willing to admit that. I'm not perfect by any means. But I'm willing to sacrifice myself for people I love. Like, the love that I have for other people oftentimes will extend beyond the love that I have for myself. And you can call that low self-worth. You can call that whatever you want. But I know who I am. I don't have much of a low self-worth anymore. I certainly did at one point. There's moments of doubt. But, you know, I look in the mirror. I know who the fuck I am at this point. It's taken a while, certainly. And I'm still learning. But I've had enough moments to where it's like, all right, I know who I can be. And I can't fully always conceptualize it, but there's an energy to it. And when you step into that energy, it's like, all right, I can love fully and risk. I can lose myself within that love because I still know who I am and I can come back. So when I fucking love, man, I give it all. I'm willing to fight. I'm willing to fight for somebody. But it's like, at what point can you no longer fight for something? At what point do you have to get so broken down, so beaten to a pulp by your own ignorance, really, in a lot of ways? Because if somebody don't want you in your life, then what's the point? If they've made it clear and you've done all you can, there is no point. You have to let go. You know, that's at the point where, you know, I heard a quote, love and wisdom cannot exist simultaneously. And I agree with it and I disagree with it in certain ways, but the ways I agree with it, that when you're lost within love and you're holding on to love and there's an attachment there and you're really clenching on, that's when wisdom can't exist with love because you're afraid to lose it. And, you know, in a way, you can't truly love when you're afraid to lose. Fear and love can't exist simultaneously. It's like what George Orwell said. They fear love because they creates a world they can't control. You can't control love. You know, so are you willing to let it go? Are you willing to let it go? And I think we all have to get to the point where it does bite us. It does come back to hurt us because we're unwilling to let go before we finally say, you know what? I know this is what we need. And it's painful. Don't get me wrong. It's painful. Who wants to let go? Especially when there's so much beauty. Especially when there's moments of intimacy. When something is so real. How do you let that go? It's when the moments of pain and drama and you're holding yourself back with the other person, that's when it's time to let go. Even if there are still those moments of real. If it's not a full fuck yes, it's a no, and that takes two to tango in that sense. And that's fine. What's meant to be will be. You know, what's meant for you can never truly lose you. And that's a difficult thing to sit with. And I think for a lot of people, you know, it's difficult, for example, to go no contact with somebody. To fully let go of somebody in your life and not fall for the internal temptation to reach out again or bring them back. You know, something I'm fucking learning about for sure. I got that anxious attachment style. Like, oh, maybe if I reach out now, it'll be good. Maybe you can figure it out now. No. If they want to, they will. It's as simple as that. When somebody asks of you to leave, you have to. All right, you're showing me the door. This is what you want, then. And, you know, I think it's noble to want to be cordial. It's noble to want to work things out. But at some point, you got to focus on yourself. At some point, you need to learn to let go of people. And, you know, you could ask then, what's the point? what's the point if I'm going to be left with this pain? I'm going to be left with this heartbreak. You know, but what are you learning from the pain? What are you learning from the heartbreak? What is it showing you about yourself? And those are questions I've certainly sat with a lot. And it's interesting because I look at what I'm doing now versus what I was doing, let's say, a month ago. And I'm doing a lot more for myself than I was a month ago. And it's kind of a shame that certain pain had to motivate me into that. But it's ultimately recrafting certain habits of discipline that I had not even necessarily stepped away from, but I was prioritizing other things. And sometimes when you get too lost within love, for example, you'll prioritize it over other essential aspects unconsciously. And it's like, that's all right. You do, love is sacrifice, it's compromise. But you can't sacrifice and compromise the things in the essence of who you are and the aspects that encompass your dreams. You can't dream and build around another specific person right off the bat. You have to have an internal foundation for yourself. You know, you need that. This is who I am. And when I know who I am, I can bring other people into my life who complement that and bring out the best in that and don't want to change that and accept that. You know, and you have to accept yourself first. It's as simple as that. You know, you can't save anybody else. Don't try that. You can't make people want to show up for themselves. You know, you can't make other people stop their old habit patterns. You can show them. And I think it's worth fighting for people that you do love to say, hey, this is what you're doing. I want to help you work through this. Now, there's risk involved in that. When you go to bat for somebody, especially if you're real with them, and love is not just butterflies and rainbows. Love is saying, hey, I see this, and I see what you're doing. I'm trying to cast a light upon your shadow here, and I'm putting myself at risk by doing that. If I go in with an open heart doing that, that their pain may be projected onto me. And in my case, well, shit, that's certainly what happened in a lot of ways. And I feel it. I experience it. I'm like, okay, I see what I see. That was a risk I was willing to take. Because I saw what the pain was, and I had to look at it. And I'm not in the sense, I'm certain I passed on some shit too that's like, all right, sorry. Sorry, didn't mean to give you that one. But ultimately, I think the most difficult part of letting go is when, you know, you open yourself up and you let yourself be seen and then you're rejected as you're seen. That's always been one of my biggest fears. I think that fear of rejection is one of the most difficult aspects. And when somebody rejects who you are, it can be earth-shattering. You know, it breaks you down in a lot of ways, but you can't allow that brokenness to become a staple of your identity. I believe a lot of people, they do that. And I understand why. You know, it's tough to move past pain. It's tough to move past trauma. You know, I could have allowed, like, let's say 10 years ago, my dad passed away. I'm that dude whose dad's dead. And that hurts me. You can't make jokes about this, this, and that. You know. And it's interesting. I heard somebody the other day, somebody I recently met at a new job, make a joke about their dead dad. I'm like, wow. I fuck with that joke. Because I get it. Because, you know, if you're willing to laugh at something, you know, that's a sign of healing. That's a sign of growth. You know, it don't mean you don't miss somebody. Don't mean you don't still love somebody. But if you can kind of look at it and get a good laugh and say, all right, this is what it is. shit, I'm fucked up. That's healing, dude. Man, that's healing. That's definitely healing. So, you know, heartbreak is a real tricky one. It's a real tricky one because you need to be constantly... No, I don't want to say constantly on guard. I don't think that's the right word. But you need to be in awareness of your emotions. You know, you got to have that vision. You got to be willing to, you know, you've constructed a dream and a lot of times you put that other person in that dream with you. You got to have that vision, that awareness. All right, I'm going to continue to dream big. But what's the essence of the dream? The foundation is within me. How do I keep tapping into that? Like I said, people are worth fighting for. I'm not going to sit here and tell you, don't reach out to that person. You know, I do think no contact is probably the best option for somebody who is an avoidant and says they need space and they don't want anything to do with you. But you know your own situation best. But look at what is the most self-respecting decision when moving on from another person in particular. What do I need? What is going to bring me self-respect? What's the point? What's the point of reaching out? What is the actual possible result? And is this my emotion speaking? Are we going to fall back into the same old patterns? Or has enough time passed to where I feel like I've grown and I want to see if this other person has grown? You know, that's why this is an art. It's saying it's science. Everybody's different. So sit with yourself. See what it is that you actually want. And don't let the foundation of a dream be reliance upon another person. I mean, I know myself. I plan to have kids one day. I plan to have a happy family. Well, shit. I'd like it to... There's certain people that come in and out that you'd like that to... Who could help create that dream with you. But you got to recognize not everybody's going to share in your vision. Or not everybody's going to align. And people are going to hurt you. And people are going to run from themselves, ultimately, at the end of the day. A lot of times when people are going... It might have something to do with you. It probably, I mean, I'm not going to say it don't. Because if somebody wants to be in your life, they ain't going to leave if it don't have nothing to do with you. Let's put it plain and simple. If they wanted to be there, they would. If they were the perfect person for them, they would still be there. Now, I don't believe there is a perfect person for anybody. I think, realistically, you're going to find a partner that's probably got to check 70 to 80% of the boxes. That's an ideal number. And unfortunately, with social media, we have this illusion of options to where you see somebody on social media or doing this or doing that that checks that box of the 20%. And, you know, that's why people cheat and whatnot or leave somebody early, prematurely. And they check that 20% that maybe that ideal partner is missing. Instead of communicating what they need, instead of working to bridge some gaps, and then they realize that person that they just left their partner for, that new person, only has the 20%. Now they're missing 80%. So there's a lot of, I would say, illusionary thinking and thinking that we have a ton of options because that perfect person ain't just going to come in. You know, you're going to find your soulmate, maybe, but I think you build something with your soulmate. Real relationships are work. They ain't all rainbows and butterflies. And there might be initial sparks, initial attraction. And that's great. And I think you do need that. But when that fades, when you start getting used to one another, how's it going to look? So there's just something to keep in mind. If you're thinking about running from something, and ultimately, at the end of the day, you know what you need. But it's easy to think we need to let go of something sometimes when it's just our fear talking. Especially if we're afraid of being vulnerable, being open. So then what do? When as soon as things get real, we take off. That's not the time to let go. That's the time to dive in when things start getting fearful. You know, only let go when you're certain it's time. Yeah. The second you touch a rose and you hit that thorn, I mean, yeah, that's the pain right there. But if you simply know that there's a rose and it has thorns and you will get hurt by it and you choose to just ignore it because of that, what does that tell you? What are you missing out on? Something to keep in mind as you move forward and as you look at love and as you look at your relationships with other people, you know? Because at the end of the day, the biggest fight that we have, shouldn't be with other people. Relationships shouldn't be competition. The biggest war and fight that we have is ultimately with ourselves, with our own fears, with our own insecurities. It's our own battles that we struggle with every single day. You know, we can't just discard people in this life. What we give out is gonna come right back to us. You know, I think maybe that's why I'm always willing to really, really, really give up my all with people to my own detriment. And I've done that. You know, there's people and times I should have let go much earlier. And I didn't. And that's all right. But that's me. That's my own path. I'm not somebody who can just run. I feel like I usually do need some sort of closure. Not, maybe that's why I find death easier than heartbreak, because it's like, whoa, that's a finality right there. And I think with heartbreak, it's like so ambiguous sometimes. It's like, you know, don't you want to work it out? Don't you want to figure out, you know, be a little bit more communicative and clear? And I don't think we always get that. And that's all right. That's all right. Ultimately, at the end of the day, regardless of how things end with somebody or at a place of work, if you're stepping into a new opportunity, it's about becoming a greater version of you. You know? What is it that you need to actually do for you to be the best version of yourself? Now that the old is gone, that person is gone, that job is gone, now you got to pave your way back to square one. How do you use the wisdom of the previous experience to step into new opportunities? You know, you need to keep a soft heart and a firm mind. You know, I still believe in the saying, heart lead, brain follow. The brain, though, don't mean it's passive. This is why meditation is so important. Sharpen that mind. But know what you want. Know what you need. Know what you can get out of life. Soft heart, firm mind. And that will lead you to new opportunities. It'll lead you to new people. It'll lead you to new scenarios. And ultimately, at the end of the day, you can create a reality that is in alignment with your bigger ideals and your dreams. You know, I think that's what it is about at the end of the day. Start at the foundation. What is it that you're dreaming? I've got big dreams for myself, and I'm in the ground stages for a lot of them. I feel like I've been in the ground stages longer than I'd like to be. And now I can accept that. I can embrace it. Like, I slacked off in certain areas. I could have done this. I could have done that. Am I going to feel shame about it, or am I going to use it as a learning tool and say, hey, you actually got to put in work in certain aspects, right? You actually got to put in work on yourself. And I think real work, you know, you can isolate and you can meditate and you can do all this lone wolf bullshit all you want. The real work comes in with other people and how you respond in certain scenarios and certain opportunities. You know, all right, you got heartbroken. How are you going to show up next time? Seriously, think about it. What would you do differently? And again, I don't mean close your heart off. Don't mean run from the potentials of pain. But how would you proceed differently? And everybody's going to have a different answer to that. Same thing with a work opportunity. You know, let's say you left something that was toxic, draining your soul. All right, what can you create that's different? Or what can you bring into a new opportunity? You know, a different job. What energy do you want to bring into there? How do you not sacrifice who you are for the culture that may already be present? And can a culture that's already present and who you are mutually coexist? I think that's something you really need to look at in anything, whether it's a workplace, you look at another person, can who I am as an individual coexist with who this person is as an individual? And it takes time. You know, that's why you don't discard somebody after one date or whatever it is. You might, it might not work. You might know right away. But a lot of times, especially when there's mutual interest, it takes time to figure that out. It takes time to work through the shadows and see if y'all can actually grow together. And that's fine. But, and you know, I feel like I'm sitting here reflecting on this episode, talking about learning to let go. I feel like I'm just venting about my own heartbreak here, which is fine. This is my process of learning to let go. But I think what I'm kind of getting at here in the bigger picture is learning to let go comes from moving forward. You know, maybe that happy ending is just saying goodbye. It's as simple as that. It's moving on. I don't know if you can ever fully let go, because why do you want to get rid of the happy memories, the timeless moments that you shared and what felt like divinity? Why do you want to get rid of that? Just because it didn't work out? Everything's impermanent. Even the scars that came with it from the pain, I mean, they're still there. They still tell a story of who you are. So you don't ever fully let go. You simply find acceptance. And that's how you move on. And I'm not fully, I haven't fully found acceptance for everything in my own life, and that's fine. I was talking to my mom the other day, telling her about everything that's going on. She's like, oh, so that's good. You're not so sad. It just sounds like you're angry. I'm like, damn. Okay, call me out. Why don't you? But, you know, we have different stages of grief, different stages of life to process and move forward with. And I think you learn to let go by simply accepting the different stages. Accepting that this is your journey. It don't matter what other people think of it. You know, do what you need to do for you. Let go of the need to even involve that other person in your journey anymore. Because if they want to, they would. It's as simple as that. And I say that from the space of when somebody else leaves you. Now, if you're the person who's letting go, you think, of people prematurely, well, maybe, and you feel like there's unfinished business, all right, maybe you haven't fully let go. Bring them back. Do what you got to do. I don't know. I think trying to work through things with people is a good thing. But some people can only be put on hold for so long, you know, and before they decide they have to let go. So if you feel like you're being put on hold and you're not appreciated, you're not valued, all right, take people at their word for their actions when they do that. Why would you stick around? What's the point? Ask yourself, what's the point in every single different aspect of your life? Every single different area. What's the point? What's the point? What's the point? And if you don't come up with an adequate answer, let it go. It's not worth it. It's not worth it. It's a very simple, excruciatingly painful lesson. Just all about becoming a better version of you. So look for the ways to grow. Look for the ways that you can embrace change. And that is going to be your foundation on how to let go. Every single person has their own journey. Every single person has their own way of looking at the world, their own backgrounds, their own traumas, their own experiences. How I'm letting go might be a little bit different than how you're letting go, but I think the energy is still the same. It's about showing up for yourself and making decisions that keep you in a mode of self-respect. I need to do what I need to do for me. Cool. Do it. Do it. I fucking respect it. And I think as long as you're open and vulnerable and authentic about those needs, what are people going to do? Say, oh, that shit's invalid. How do y'all know? How do y'all know? You ain't living in my shoes. You ain't walking in what I need. Don't push people away so quickly. Express what you need and people will be there for you how they can be. And I would say embrace the love with open arms. Embrace the ways people want to try and help. You'll know the real ones. The real ones will never go. So, you know, like I said, the biggest fight that we have is ultimately against ourselves. The wars I feel within my own heart are no different than the wars I see out in the world. It's all the same energy, division. It's internal shame. And I think a lot of times we let scenarios, we let trauma, we let pain become a staple of our self-worth and our identity. And it's from that space that we go out into the world and we spread that shame, we spread that pain on others who a lot of times those people that we spread that to were just trying to help us rid it from ourselves. It's as simple as that. You know, and this don't mean letting go don't mean you don't stop loving people. I think love is an eternal feeling. You're always gonna love people. You're always gonna love the people that you loved. Don't matter what happens. It doesn't mean you need to keep them around. Someone gonna keep a space in your heart, that don't mean they're gonna keep a space in your life. And that's a tough one. But it's truth. And you need to have enough self-respect to know when that happens. Yeah. Yeah. This has been a very healing episode for me. This has been a very revelatory in a lot of ways. Because I think it's good to be able to just express these types of ideas and these things as I experience them. And hopefully somebody else can hear it and think, all right, what are the areas I need to let go in? Where can I be a little bit more vulnerable? Where can I show up? So look for the ways to be the best version of you and let go of what you need to let go of. Have the difficult conversations. Be empathetic as possible. It don't need to be... I don't want to say it don't need to be conflict. A lot of times it's going to be conflict when you engage and let it go. But surrender and let it flow. It's as simple as that. Heart lead, brain follow. The heart knows what it knows. It's going to want what it wants. But keep the mind firm. And you'll know what the greatest act of love is. Maybe your final act of love is to let somebody go and say goodbye. Because that's the only way they're going to find real love themselves. It's a windy road, my friends. This journey is not easy. It's not for the faint of heart, but that's what we sign up for. It's what we do. It's why we're here. That's the point. It's to continue to love, to continue to express, and it's to continue to uncover who we are through our experiences and share smiles, share connections. And, you know, at the end of the day, as we're sitting there watching the sunset, know we gave it our all and we did our best. That's the point. We only got this one life to live. I mean, shit, we might reincarnate here again. That's certain. Part of me thinks I'm feels like being done. It's just a tiring experience sometimes. But we got this one life to live in front of us. And that's what we're here to do. We're here to keep it real. We're here to flow. So that's going to wrap up this episode. As I said, I got a few interviews planned out for the next couple weeks. If you're interested in some personal training, getting a fitness program, consultation, looking at where you're at, how you can improve, do book something in my calendar. Same with the tarot readings, if you want a tarot reading, and we can look at some of these ideas like letting go and surrender. Certainly, that's all in the episode show notes below. And do subscribe to my Substack, linkdermot.substack.com. Everything I just talked about, I've been really expressing in my Substack as well. So good content going on over there. Definitely good content. And, you know, this is a shift. Certainly. New direction. Not new direction, really, for the show, but just a new perspective that I'm bringing in, especially after a bout of silence for as long as I had. I'm growing a little older. Life changes you. Life changes you, certainly. And I feel like I'm stepping into my own version of myself and who I need to be, and the show is just going to be what it is. It's going to be an extension of that instead of something outside of myself, you know. So I appreciate y'all being here. Appreciate y'all sharing this space with me in this little more vulnerable episode. Talking about letting go. Learning how to let go. Hopefully you pick something up. Because I kind of feel like, you know, sometimes when you get into a flow state and you have no idea what you just talked about. That's kind of where I'm at right now. I really have no idea what I just talked about for the last 50 minutes. I'm going to have to go back and listen to myself and kind of figure that out. But it was from a space of love, radiance, flow, and just learning how to let go. As simple as that. That's going to wrap up this episode, and I shall see you all next time. So long.